And I know I talk a lot about Orlando and Vogelsong, and I'm glad that we get some reactions on Vogelsong. What about Orlando Cepeda? Now, you guys, of course, have no idea at all, really, of what he was like and who he was. But, you know, you've got people in your lives a little bit older than you. And when you think of Orlando Cepeda, what comes to mind for you guys?
Well, for me, I had Puerto Rican roommates back in college when I was playing college baseball, and they loved him. They'd always try to emulate his game. And so, of course, naturally, I'd go look him up, and what a player and what a person. I mean, he was great.
Yeah, he was. And unanimous MVP in 1967, traded to the St. Louis Cardinals. First of all, he was the first loved San Francisco Giant. As great, Willie Mays, the greatest, as Rennell, who does a great job. I love Rennell. And she did a great job tonight introducing everybody. And, of course, Willie is the greatest player who ever lived. And it's true. He is. But when Orlando broke through here, this was San Francisco. And Willie was from New York. And people from New York who just come to the Bay Area and call it something other than San Francisco. You know what I mean? They don't get it yet. It takes a little while to get who we are. And I say we because I came from Florida in 1972. But people live in the Bay Area have a certain way about them. And when Orlando broke through, he was the big star. I mean, he was in. McCovey was still in Phoenix. McCovey couldn't break onto this team because Orlando was here playing first base. So Willie had to go back. And then, of course, had a great year. And the next year, he's hitting like 375. And July 30th, he comes up and makes his debut in 1959. But in 58, just think about this. Think of San Francisco. You know, they've got, from 1903 to 1958, Pacific Coast League baseball. The San Francisco Seals, the legendary Seals. And you talk to the Seals, anyone who knew them, you know, it brings up, they almost start crying when you talk about the Seals and Seals Stadium, how wonderful it was, and the smell of the bakery and the Ham's beer sign and all this stuff, which you guys don't know. But it was a neighborhood park right at 16th and Bryant, right around there. So here's Orlando comes into this, and San Francisco is now Major League Baseball. And they've had some teams come out and, you know, have exhibition games against the Seals. Ted Williams and the Red Sox had played here. But they never had Major League Baseball here. And all of a sudden now the war of New York has moved to the West Coast. Down in L.A., the hated Dodgers. And up here, the San Francisco Giants. And the people here wanted to embrace the team, which they did in this little 23,000-seat stadium. And they did. They loved the Giants. But who did they love? The slugger, because the slugger is the exciting guy in baseball. And who was the slugger? The new guy, Orlando Cepeda. And that's who he was in 1958, and he's 80 years old, so he's born in 1937, right, if I did my math right. So, and this is now September, so early in the 58 season, he would have been, he wouldn't have been 21 yet. I guess he was still 20 years old. So here's this powerful young man who had home run ability, and he was a dancer. He was someone who loved life. And the people of San Francisco saw this young man, and just think of even today, at this ballpark, if Helio Ramos, you know, in 3 years is 20 years old and comes up here and is rookie of the year and is a unanimous rookie of the year, this place would go nuts for him because he's their own. He's San Francisco's own. And that's who Orlando was in those days. He was San Francisco's own player. He was the first to really grab everybody in San Francisco. And, of course, the pitching, you know, Johnny Antonelli was here, who nicknamed him Cha-Cha because he loved music and loved going out at night. And then they had Sad Sam Jones, who pitched with a toothpick in his mouth, had the greatest curveball ever. And, you know, they had people like that. And Ruben Gomez, who would chase a Philly or a Brave around with a bat. You know, he was a guy who would knock you down, and they'd chase him, and he'd run the center field. I mean, it was a very colorful team. And Orlando was the guy with Willie. And then the next year, McCovey came in. And in 59, the Giants almost won the pennant. They went down to the last week, and then things fell apart. And Johnny Antonelli made the terrible comment to the newspaper. It said, "I don't like this place. It's too windy." And you insulted. I mean, it was like front page headlines. Antonelli insults San Francisco, Bay Area. And he didn't pitch the last week of the season because everyone was so mad at him. And they ended up losing the pennant to the Dodgers and Braves. They tied, and the Giants lost. So McCovey is now here. He's the big rookie of the year. July 30th, he comes up and becomes rookie of the year. He's like Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins of the Phillies, or Gary Sanchez. That was McCovey in 1959. He came up and he went nuts. 13 homers with 52 RBIs and whatever it was, whatever he hit. It was just tremendous. And now you had Cepeda and McCovey and Mays and Johnny Antonelli and Sad Sam Jones and all this in this little Seal Stadium. The place went crazy. And that's what cemented the Giants into the Bay Area. That's what made the Giants the Giants. And then, of course, you go to Candlestick and you have, you know, more players coming up. But Marichal is next. And now you've got Cepeda and Marichal, McCovey and Mays. And it was very exciting baseball. And that's who Orlando was in those days to the franchise and how important he was. But he was Latin American and he was from Puerto Rico. Alvin Dark didn't necessarily like the Latin American players. And I say like. He probably didn't mind them as people, but he felt the clubhouse, everyone should speak English, or they shouldn't have music in the clubhouse and all that. So this was contrary to the culture of the people, how they grew up. These were the players who grew up. You know, this is what their lives were like. It's like saying, well, sorry, don't eat the kind of food you're used to eating your whole life. You now must eat Chinese food for the rest of your life. You know, it's something crazy like that. So Alvin Dark splintered the clubhouse to some degree. And that was part of the reason that they didn't win more. And then Orlando sort of bore the brunt of that. And he spoke out. And that was a problem with Alvin Dark. And when you look at the 1962 last playoff game, this is actually not the last playoff game, but the game that the Giants had to win to cause the playoff in 1962. Orlando Cepeda was facing Dick Farrell, fireballing Turk Farrell of the Houston Colt 45s, right? He was 23 for 53 off Dick Farrell with four homers and six doubles. Willie McCovey was 11 for 51 off Dick Farrell, who's a righty, with two homers and six RBIs. Alvin Dark played McCovey and not Cepeda in that game. And the Giants end up winning the game 2-0. Ed Bailey hit a home run and Willie Mays hit a home run in the eighth inning. They win the game 2-1. The Dodgers lose 1-0. Now they're tied and the rest is history. They end up going to the World Series. But that's what Cepeda was faced with in those days. And he went into the game in the ninth inning for defense. And two players end up in the Hall of Fame, McCovey and Cepeda, who came up around the same time, the same position. And how unique this is. The same guys, they're brothers. In 1955, together, they went to that first tryout camp in Melbourne, Florida, and crossed each other's paths their whole lives. Both brothers end up in the Hall of Fame. One is 80 tomorrow, and the other one, McCovey, will be 80, God willing, in January. And that's the story of Orlando Cepeda and who he was. So when we celebrate his birthday and we look at the man, and for you guys who, you know, you look at him and say, oh, Orlando Cepeda, Hall of Famer, that's who the man was in those days. And he was so important to the franchise. And he went on and was an all-star. And then he hurt his knee. And he, as Orlando told us today, when he was a teenager, he hurt his knee. And they had to give him an operation just so he could walk, let alone play. Just so he could walk. And he, you know, worked it out and he became a baseball player. But his knee bothered him in 1965. McCovey is now asserting himself as a player. 1966, it's a new manager, Herman Franks. And again, Orlando doesn't see eye to eye with Herman Franks. And in May of 1966, Giants are playing the Cardinals in St. Louis. They call Orlando in and say, by the way, you're now a St. Louis Cardinal. And it crushed him because he was San Francisco. That's the man. He was San Francisco. It crushed him for Ray Sadecki. And he went to the Cardinals and had a decent year in 66. The Cardinals get Roger Maris in 1967. They've got Bob Gibson. Cepeda is healthy, and they win the pennant and the World Series, and he is the unanimous MVP of the National League. In 1967, this is the high heyday of the National League, and that's Cepeda. So when we celebrate his birthday today, that's the man that we celebrate. So that's my story.
I love it. That's special stuff, Marty. You really don't understand that unless you know somebody or have somebody like you that has a story to tell it. From my perspective, I mean, I'm 22 years old. I've never heard somebody with passion tell a story like that. Now I know the importance of them.
Yeah,
that's great stuff.
Yeah, that's who Orlando. And Kerry, you're a San Franciscan, and you're.
Yeah,
family.
I think you have to understand the culture of San Francisco. And understand the culture of the Giants organization to know that what he meant to the franchise, what he meant to the city, what he meant to different neighborhoods in this city, because it's a city that's been divided into neighborhoods in the past. People identify with, oh, I'm from the Mission District, I'm from Hunters Point, I'm from the Sunset. That's how people identify themselves. And yet all of those people at that time could identify themselves with Orlando Cepeda because they could all say, I'm a San Franciscan, and so was he while he was playing for the Giants. And I think that your story really speaks to that.
Yeah, that's who he was as a Giant. Then they brought him back, and he had issues in his life that many people have overcome issues, which he did. And they brought him back, and thank God for Peter McGowan and Larry Bear. And they brought him back. And he became a Hall of Famer, and which he richly deserved because he was that kind of impact player throughout his entire career. And he got the statue. Here's Orlando Cepeda, the 15-year-old or 17-year-old coming from Puerto Rico, can't speak English. They have the white players, the black players, and then the Latin players. That was the pecking order, and he was in because he couldn't speak. And here he is today standing on the mound with his grandson in a Panama hat. His kid throws out the ball, throws a beautiful pitch, and they give out 20,000 Orlando Cepeda statues. You think you saw that coming in 1958? And here it is, the statue that will be forever at the park on King Street, next to AT&T Park. That's a story, isn't it?